And at the bottom of our hot stories, Sean has the El Paso story of the sand circles in, too good to be true, right? Because they say a human, not an ET, takes credit for the sand circles. Turns out to be all the work of a local artist named Michael Alford. He's pretty darn good, I'll tell you that. And he said, art is a mystery, but this mystery is man-made, not alien-made. Dozens of people reported seeing the circles there. And there are some pictures on the coasttocoastam.com website on the last hot story way down there at the bottom. Back in a moment. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Let us go west of the Rockies. You are on the program. Good morning to you. Hello.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hey, how's it going? This is Justin in Loveland, Colorado.
We're yes, sir.
To the Rockies. Barely. Just barely. Okay.
Just squeezed over.
Yeah. Well, I didn't really have a story for you. It was more of a question. Me and my cronies are going to Vegas here this upcoming weekend for my birthday, and we were thinking about making the trek up to Rachel on Area 51, and we were thinking if maybe you had some pointers or advice or what to do or what not to do.
Yeah, be careful.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they will come and get you.
Yeah.
If you get too close. And
yeah,
I'm not sure if you're going to be able to see anything. You might, if you're going to be out in that area, it's kind of neat to be out there at night, but you don't know where you're going.
Right.
And I'd just be very careful. You know, Art had a couple of years ago an incredible story of a fella who was flying his small plane
over Area
51, and he disappeared, and who knows what happened to him.
I remember hearing that actually on the radio quite a long time ago. I remember, right? And the guy actually had a recording from inside of his plane, I think.
No, he was live.
Yeah. I mean, he was live, but he was in his plane.
Yeah.
On the phone. Man, that'd be great. You should play that again sometime. That'd be great.
Yeah, we'll do that one day.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I listen to the show quite often.
So enjoy Vegas. Happy birthday. Be very careful if you're going out to Area 51.
Oh, we're gonna.
Yeah, those guys mean business out there.
Yeah, we don't want to get shot or anything like that.
No, you don't want that.
We don't need none of that. If something happens, if I get wounded, I'll give you a ring or something.
You got it.
All righty, man.
All right, thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You are on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hello, George.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing? This is Bob in Seattle.
Hello, Bob. What's up?
Oh, nothing much. First, real quick, I'd just like to say hello to my fellow Nighthawks out there. We're following you. We love you. You're great.
Well, now, what avatar are you?
I am actually Johnny Depp right now, so I'm just feeling Johnny Depp tonight. I don't know.
All right, so you change it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, anyways, I have a story about the Grim Reaper for you.
Sure.
Okay, well, not too long ago, I took some friends of mine who were about to go into the Navy up to an abandoned insane asylum up here in Seattle around this area. And we went to the asylum. Trippy stuff happened, but nothing too bad. We walk out, and we're just hanging out down below. The abandoned insane asylum is up on a hill, and we're down below the hill. And out of nowhere, all of a sudden, I was with some pretty religious people, and I just started getting nervous and anxious, and stuff was going wrong. And I'm not very religious because I don't want to memorize any songs. Excuse me. But so we're there, and out of nowhere, this 7-foot black figure just started coming at us, and then it disappeared. Started coming at us again, disappeared. And I've never seen anything like it before. It looked like something off of a heavy metal album or something. It was wild. And it was just crazy, man. So I've never, the people who I was with just lost it and started crying and stuff, but we just booked it and ran out of there. So it was pretty wild.
Did you think maybe it's some guy in a costume playing a trick?
No, there's no way, because it was just all black. It was no face. We thought that at first. And, of course, being, you know, young adolescent males, we started talking smack to it and, you know, telling it to come out and stuff like that. And what would happen is it would disappear before our eyes and then reappear closer.
Uh-huh.
So after about the third or fourth time, we decided we had enough. And
that's when you stopped talking the talk, right?
Exactly. That kind of separated the men from the boys, and I guess we were all boys that night. So.
Well, you know what? Let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with a little fear from anybody once in a while.
That's very true.
Sometimes that's smart.
Absolutely. But, it's a great experience. They won't talk about it to this day. But the trippy thing is that the two of the guys I was with were going into going to Iraq the next week. And I don't know if it has any connection, but one of them didn't come back. So,
oh, that's sad.
It was pretty wild. But thank you very much for taking my call,
okay.
George. Have a
thank
good night.
You too. Right. Have a good weekend. And thanks for listening to Coast to Coast. Let's go to our wild card line. Your turn. You're on the program. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hello.
This is Mary from Salt Lake.
Hi, Mary. Another Salt Lake caller. We, of course, we've got a huge audience in Salt Lake City.
Yes, you do.
But the entire city is calling tonight.
Well, I think you have a huge audience all over. I guess we were just lucky tonight.
We are pretty widespread. It's just the luck of the draw sometimes. You know, I've talked to people today in Houston who have tried to get through for years, and they just can't do it. Some other people, they can get through every month. They just have a knack for it, I guess.
I know. There's kind of a secret trick that I will never say.
I wonder if they're buying Tommy off or something like that.
No, I'll tell you what. I know when I'm going to get on.
Well, you feel it?
I feel it. And it's only when I have something that I feel that's very important to say. Otherwise, I wouldn't want to bother you and or anybody else. I'd rather listen. And I get that feeling, and I call, and I usually get on.
Okay, well, that so, must be important tonight, huh?
Well, I think so. It's not exactly Grim Reaper, but I was born as a healer. And, of course, I've never taken any money for it. I've always healed my children. My mother is now dying of cancer in Arizona, and I live in Salt Lake, as we said.
Mm-hmm.
And I travel there at least once a month just to give her treatments, to help her feel better as she's passing. Last week, before she went to the doctor the next day, we always give her treatment around, I always do about 8 o'clock, and I meditate first. And make sure that only good is you know around all of us. And I felt myself standing in her room, and I saw them. But that has happened before. But they both looked. My parents both looked up and saw me. And the next night, she had after she had gone to the doctor, and they said, "You may have months." I was getting ready to do the nighttime meditation because she has a very difficult time sleeping.
Yeah.
And I was using a crystal ball, only to, you know, to see the colors and it gets and pray while I'm doing it and just to get me into the mode of meditation. And all of a sudden I saw her bedroom in the ball, not like in my mind. And I saw someone standing over her, which was not me. And it was I guess it was someone in a robe, and he has had his hands over her like I do when I'm, well, I don't pray over her. Of course, the Holy Spirit works through me. I'm just a conduit. But this, whether that was the Grim Reaper or not, I took a photo of it. I had a camera just sitting right there, a Polaroid, because I wanted to make sure it wasn't in my mind.
Did it turn out?
Yes.
You
I have
could
a picture.
See it? Well, we have to see this.
I know. I'd like to get it to you. It's just a Polaroid. I've sent one to my mother. I didn't want to frighten her, but she knows, and she's at peace.
Did this creature give her comfort?
Yes.
Or do you think it frightened her? Comfort.
She was not frightened.
Do you remember? You probably don't. You probably.
Well, I might.
Well, I don't know.
Hey, I'm 56. What?
All right, you might. It's okay. It's an old Twilight. Did you watch Twilight Zone when you were a kid?
Always.
All right. Do you remember the one with Robert Redford? He was a police officer.
Yes, I do.
He was wounded outside the door, and the little old lady, I can't remember her real name, would not let him in because she thought he was Mr. Death.
Right.
And he kept saying, "Please let me in, please let me in." And her little apartment building was going to be condemned, and they were going to knock it down. And she refused to open the door for anybody. She stayed in this thing. Meanwhile, Redford gets wounded, and I guess she eventually felt sorry for him and brings him in and puts him on the couch. And he ended up being I guess I can tell people that. Yeah, he was Mr. Death.
Yeah.
And but she was so comforted. You know, he took her away. In the last scene, you could see them basically like walking out together, and she was, you know, happy again. It sounds like this was this kind of creature.
That's what I thought, because for some reason I saw it in the crystal, and I don't usually see things. It's just to help while I'm preparing myself. To get all the evil out of any space we're going to enter.
Good for you.
And, but this was such a clear picture, and I don't know why the Polaroid was even sitting on the table, but it was.
Okay, now we got to figure out how to get it to us. Do you have snail mail, or do you have the ability to email it to us?
I do. I have an email.
Okay. You get it to me at george@coasttocoastam.com. I also want you to send it to Lex, L-E-X, at coasttocoastam.com.
I'll do it.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. That was a great story. Next up, let us go to our first-time caller line. You're on the program. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Dave from Vandalia, Ohio.
Hey, Dave.
I just wanted to let you know my story. My sister passed away about 10 years ago, and the day of the funeral, after the funeral, I was tired, so I laid in my mom's bed, went to sleep, and all of a sudden this loud, loud noise woke me up. But I was paralyzed. I could not move no matter what I tried to do. And finally, I heard this voice saying, I'm okay, I'm okay. And it finally let me move. But to this day, I mean, I still get cold chills when I think about it.
Why do you think it was holding you down?
I have no idea. I mean, I couldn't move. I couldn't turn over. I couldn't even move my hands or anything. Totally paralyzed.
Do you think it was sleep paralysis, which is a condition that happens? People get it.
I've never had it since. I've wondered about that, but it's never happened since.
That is weird.
It's scary.
But as soon as you wanted to get released, so be it, huh?
So be it, yes.
Yeah, that's what makes it strange. Okay, thanks, Dave. Appreciate you sharing that with us. Let's go to the east of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Good morning to you. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Hi.
My name is Paul, and I'm traveling this long black ribbon that we call the highways to keep the United States.
keep trucking and stay safe.
Thank you, sir. Got a question for you.
Okay.
Back in the late 60s and early 70s, there was a writer named John Norman. He wrote about an alternate Earth that traveled on the same rotation as the Earth. Now, without going into all the philosophy, the principles of books, I was curious what your thoughts were about the possibility of a secondary planet on our rotation.
I think we don't have a secondary planet, but we may very well have a major extra planet in the solar system that they haven't found yet. The work of Zechariah Sitchin, I think, is fantastic. And I think that there very well could be this extra planet out there. Some people call it Planet X. It just hasn't come rolling by here yet. I also think our star system is a binary star system, two stars, and it's out there somewhere, and they just haven't found it. Could be a dark star now.
Okay.
I think there's another planet in the solar system. I don't think it's in the Earth's orbit, but I think it's out there.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time. Have a great night.
Okay. You too. Appreciate you being part of the program. Let's go to the Grim Reaper line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, my name is Ralph, and I'm calling from Las Lunas, New Mexico.
Hello, Ralph, Grim Reaper man. What's up?
Well, my story is this. I was driving home from a friend's funeral, and I just put on a mix of music that they played at the funeral. He liked the band called Rush.
Oh, yeah, and we play some of that bumper music every once in a while.
Yes, yes. And I was coming around this bend going towards my home, and there's a train tracks there. And just as I was coming around the bend, I saw the gates coming down, and I stopped, and I looked north. I didn't see a train. I looked south, and I didn't see a train. And a few minutes later, you could hear the train. You could feel the train, but you couldn't see the train.
A ghost train, almost, huh?
Yeah. It was like you could hear it. You could feel the vibrations of the ground, and just as the silence and the wind stops, in my headlights, standing in front of me, is the character as known as what looked like the Grim Reaper.
And it was he just staying there looking at you?
Yes, yes. And just as the gates for the, you know, for the train start to go up, he like vanishes in the direction that the wind went. And it, I mean, I will never forget that for the rest of my life.
He vanished in the direction of the wind. Just off he went.
Yeah. And I could have sworn maybe he was laughing like, it's been in my mind. And, you know, it's just, like I said, coming from a friend's funeral, that really, just really affected me.
And I am sure the train never showed up, did it?
No, there was no train, but you could hear it. You could feel it, but you couldn't see it.
Okay, thanks. Next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. Your turn on Open Lines. Hi there.
Hi, this is Chris in the Quad Cities.
Hey, Chris, what's going on?
I just wanted to let you know about a program on the History Channel that I just watched last night.
Sure,
it's
what is it?
In the past, about December 21st, 2012, the end of days.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, one of my friends produced it.
Oh, very good. Callers, yep. It's also on again on Saturday at noon.
Great. I mean, it's a great program, and they come up with some different concepts and ideas, but it's worth it because, you know, every idea about that time period, you know, is important. What do you think is going to happen 2012?
You know, I don't know. I listen to your program all the time, and I work nights, so I listen to it all the time. But one thing that was on that History Channel program was all the prophecies of Merlin that's never been addressed on Coast to Coast that I'm aware of. But I thought it was really interesting. I just wanted to let you know.
Okay. No, we've had Merlin on quite a bit, as a matter of fact, talking about this and 2012 and predictions way beyond 2012. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the show. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi there. It's Jay calling from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Hey, Jay, go ahead.
Yeah, my story is about, I'd like to say first, my angels for getting me on the show tonight. So
good.
Yeah. My story is about forgiveness. And in November of 2003, I decided to forgive my dad after about 24 years of being angry at him. And in December 27, 2003, I went over to my dad's house. And after we had supper, we went to the living room and we turned on this light. And this light is hanging from the ceiling, and then it started blinking off and on. So I said to myself, you know, spirits, I've got to hurry up here. So I'll forgive my dad real quick. So I'd show my dad a videotape of how my life was going. And then I said to my dad, and then I held my palms out to my dad and said, Dad, thank you, Mom and Dad, for bringing my soul onto this earth. Thank you.
And did he accept that?
Yes, he did.
And why did it last so long?
Why did it last so long? Because I said, I wasn't in touch with him. I was angry at my dad. That's all I can think of.
For something he did? Something you don't want to say?
Oh, like for, the punchline is coming up. And the second thing I said to my dad is, you know, thanks for being so innovative and thanks for the humor. Thanks much, Dad. And then I said, Dad, I have something to say to you. I'm angry for you for 24 years. And the reason why is that you did the best you can without a father since 10 years old or since the...
Speak up and give me the punchline.
Okay. And then we both cried. And I said, you know, Dad, I asked for your forgiveness. And Dad said yes, and we forgave each other and cried and cried and cried.
Well, it's good that you can do that. It really is. You're a better person for that. I'll be back in a moment. Open Lines, final segment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, no promises, but we're working on the possibility of doing an entire program live from Roswell, New Mexico, during their anniversary celebration of the crash at Roswell. So this would be around the 4th of July holiday. It would be that Friday, and we're working on some technical situations there. If it works, I'll be there, and we'll have a great program because I'm going to try to get Stanton Friedman out there with me and some other people who are experts on the Roswell case. So I'll give you more information in the months ahead. Just think about it. It's not a promise yet because I don't know about the technical requirements, but we're working on it. But if we can do it, it would be one heck of a show. I really want to do it. Back in a moment, we'll take final calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, let's go now to our wild card line. You are on Coast to Coast with us. Thanks for holding.
How you doing, Mr. Norrie?
Fine, sir.
Yeah, I'm calling. My name is L. Sid. I'm calling you from Western Pennsylvania. I love your show. And last week, you touched on a subject that made my hair stand on the back of my neck. And it was these quadruple numbers, like triple, like four, four ones, three ones, five, five.
Oh, yeah.
Triple,
oh, yeah.
Triple twos. I've been seeing that for like 2 years now. I don't know what it means, but when you said that, it was just electric. And I said, oh, my God, you know, that was just incredible. I listen to your show all the time, and I only want to say one other thing. I'm one of those child abductees. I've been being abducted all my life since I was a child. I'm African-American, and I've been abducted since I was like a little boy, off and on all my life. I've even been on the ships and different things like that. But I don't know what these numbers mean. But I've been seeing it for 2 years. I want to hang up, so I want to hear what you got to say about it.
Okay, let me ask you one quick question, can you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the ships, what do they look like on the inside?
On the inside of the ships that I've seen, there was examination tables. There was these balls of light that came down. They had like pentagon-like shapes to it. They were just put them over our heads. I don't know if they were sending information to us or like encoding us with information. I know I've been tagged. I know that. I know I have. But I had a years ago, I had an experience with my wife, and she was very frightened by the experience because she was also equally, we were both abducted at the same time. And we had about maybe a 4 hour time lapse between, I guess you say, Breezewood into Eastern Maryland. Yeah, it was really crazy.
Gosh, that's something. Okay, and I'll let
it's
you
pretty,
hear
pretty
the, my answer about these numbers, because a lot of us see sequential numbers. I see 111 or 1111. Everybody knows that by now. Jim Carrey sees 2-3. So they mean something. And though I believe 1111 means enlightenment, somebody else called me this week and said, no, it does not. I'm going to dive in it a little deeper and get some more information on it. Of course, we've had Glynis McCants give us her take on it. I want to get some other views on it. Let's go to our next wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Mary. I'm calling from California.
Hey, Mary.
Hi. Jeff, I got a story for you. I finally got the chance to talk to you. I've been waiting a long time.
How long?
Nice meeting you. Yeah. Well, this story has a very weird story. About 2 years ago, I picked a lemon off my sister's tree. It's not about the holidays. I was going to make a lemon pie.
Okay.
And I picked a bag of lemons, and I took them home. But this one particular lemon, when I took it out of the bag, this particular lemon, I still have it today. It's been 2 years. This particular lemon has five things like a hand. If you take the palm of your hand and put them together right at the wrist, it had five fingers with fingernails on it. And in the middle of the hand, it had a head of a devil. It had the horns, the nose, and the mouth, and it would gleam like in the eyes. In the mouth, and I worked at a particular department store, and I took it to work with it, and I showed a couple of people, and a lot of people were afraid of it. A lot of girls, she just did like the cross of, you know, Jesus, and she'll get it away, you know, everybody was scared. This was a lemon. No one had ever seen anything like it before, and so I took it to the newspaper, you know, to put it in a paper, and they were like, yeah. So busy. They were going to, they called me back, but I was so busy during the holidays, I never did get a chance to go back and have them published in the paper, but I still have this lemon today. And this strange thing about it, with this lemon, every time it was in my car, something would always happen. Like, I would get a flat, somebody broke my window, the police would pull me over, you know, I'd unblock my keys inside, you know, stuff like that. They say, you know what you got to do? Take this lemon and bury it.
So well, you know what's wrong with your car.
Yeah. Well,
it's a lemon.
Oh,
sorry.
I had to say that. It really was a lemon. I got rid of it.
You've got an evil lemon for some reason.
Yeah,
and it doesn't get old. It doesn't rot.
No, I still have this lemon. What this lemon does, it didn't rot. It didn't get molded. It just looked like it dehydrated. I have it in storage right now, and in storage, this lemon, it looked like it's like it looked like old, like an old person gets real wrinkly and George. You have to see it, honestly, God, I still have it. It has gray eyebrows and it grew a gray mustache. I still have it. When I went back to my storage last a couple of months ago and I saw it, I said, "I'll be doggone it, go gray beard."
It doesn't talk to you, does it?
No. I talked to it. Mm-mm. But you know what I did? I asked this lemon. I said, you know, people said, Barry, it's evil. It's, you know, it's going to do you harm. I said, okay, if you give me $10,000 within a week, I'll bury it. And honest to God, within a week, I got $10,000. I was trying to get my Social Security.
What do you mean you got $10,000 in a week? What happened? How'd you do it?
I was trying to get my Social Security for 9 years, and just what happened? It came. Yeah.
All in one lump sum, huh?
Yeah. But I didn't bury it. I locked it up and put it in storage. I still have it. I still have this lemon today. It
All right, why don't you give us periodic updates on the lemon, if you would. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hi, George. This is Steve calling from Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. How are you doing
tonight,
Steve? George?
Thank you. Good.
It's an honor to be talking to you, George. Listen to you every night. Tell you about a little ghost story I had since I was a kid. My parents moved into this house when I was 1 year old. And my dad died when I was 5.
That's always tough. Man, isn't it?
Yeah, it is tough. It was really tough. But I got over it, and my oldest brother helped me with it. I'd be playing downstairs when I was a kid shortly after he died, and my mom would yell down and say, "Hey, who are you playing with?" I'd say, "I'm playing with my dad." And I can remember my toys moving around by themselves and everything, and I thought I was playing with my dad. Well, the older I got, the meaner the spirit got, and it hit me, it wasn't my dad. I'd be laying in my bed at night, and from my closet, I'd hear like a fireman breathing through his mask. I'd hear that come from my closet and go right underneath my bed, and I wouldn't be able to sleep. My dog wouldn't even come into my bedroom. I'd sit there and try to hold her beside my bed to keep her there, and she'd do everything, just run out my bedroom door.
Yeah, she sensed it.
Yeah, she sensed it big time. The only other person in my family that's seen it was my sister. She seen it in a mirror one day walk by, and she also heard windows and doors closing upstairs one day when nobody was up there. So this thing messed with me. We lived in that house until I was 12, and it just messed with me every night, you know. And one time I tried to tape the breathing noises,
yeah.
And I got up the next morning thinking I got it. My tape player was perfectly fine. The tape inside was burned up.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
He didn't want you to hear him.
No, he didn't want me to have proof. And like I said, this went on until I was 12. And one day my mom was talking on the phone to one of her friends when we were getting ready to move out of the house. And she said, "Well, if the spirit wants to come move with us, he can." And the cupboard door flew open and missed her head by inches.
My God. Do you think that was him, though? Do you think that was his way of just trying to hang around with you?
No, because this thing was too evil. The older I got, the meaner it got.
That's
and my dad would have never done that to
me. Nope.
And, I mean, when I was a little kid, I used to lay in front of the heater because I liked the heat. And I heard the breathing noises come out of that. And I looked and a hand came out and reached and grabbed me.
God.
Once. I mean, it went on, and finally we moved to our new place, and I heard it. I thought, okay, this is over. A couple of days went by, and nothing. Then one day I heard it, and I finally stood up out of bed, and I went, "I had enough of you. I'm not afraid of you no more. This is a new house. Leave me alone." And I haven't heard from him since then.
So, but you are now a believer in life after death, aren't you?
Oh, definitely. There is life after death, definitely.
Yep, I agree with that. Thanks. Appreciate your call. Next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Rich in Bloomer, Wisconsin.
Hey, Rich. What's going on?
I got a Grim Reaper / Angel of Death story for you.
Okay.
Back in the 90s, I was a competitive bodybuilder, and there was a young guy that wanted to enter his first contest, so you know he kind of hooked up with me to do some training. And one night at the gym, this guy shows up and he's asking questions, and they kind of point him in my direction. And he's a real thin guy, all dressed in black. And he comes up to me and starts asking me questions. And, you know, he was just kind of creepy. And, you know, I was kind of just being polite. I answered a few questions, and he followed me out into the parking lot and really wanted to know a lot about what I was doing with this young guy with the training and whatever. And you know, the guy gave me a really creepy vibe, and I kind of, you know, just cut him short and kind of went on my way. And then for the next couple of weeks, I worked out at several different gyms. This guy would just come walking into the gym, walk straight up to me, and start asking me questions about
Same guy.
And his story to me was, oh, I'm from Texas. I'm in the area on business, you know. And he drove this black Firebird. And so, I, you know, all these different gyms, you know, there's no way he could know where I would be at any given time. And he'd
unless he was following you.
Yeah. Well, that kind of, you know, I kind of creeped me out. But so he'd come walking up to me in these gyms. And then one day I go into the main gym I go to, and here's this guy working out with the young guy that I'm training.
Oh, man, this is getting too weird.
Yeah, this really is starting to freak me out. And, I mean, I was so creeped out by this guy. I mean, I started to think, you know, this isn't just a guy. This is something really weird.
Something's going on here. Yeah.
Something's going on.
He's a stalker. So, he's a serial killer. Who knows what he is?
Serial killer. That is the thing I was thinking. I mean, just creepy. So, I mean, it was creeping me out so bad, I wouldn't even ask this young guy anything about this other guy. So we get close to the contest. This young guy, you know, he's 20, excellent health, you know, contest ready bodybuilder, enters his first show. You know, he didn't place, but, you know, he did pretty well. You know, he was happy with what we had done. And then it has a sad ending. You know, here he is, this 20-year-old guy. A week after the contest, he was swimming with some of his friends, and he died of a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
And then I never saw the guy from Texas again.
Never.
Nope.
You know what? I'm gonna step out here and say that this guy was Dr. Death, Mr. Death, part of the Grim Reaper, something like that.
I mean, I had no doubt about it. It just, I think about it still to this day, 10 years later.
That's an amazing story.
Yep.
And as you know, there are no coincidences.
There's definitely no coincidence there.
Okay, great. Thanks. That's a horrible story. Man,
thanks.
That's something else. Thanks. Appreciate you. Let's go west of the Rockies. It's your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, this is Kevin in California.
Hi, Kevin.
I'm calling in reference to something the angel lady mentioned. She said that she was wondering why Azrael and Raziel tend to get interchanged for death. Back when I was in Sunday school, I happened to cross a book in my church's library called The Big Book of Angels, and it described that death is a job held by this angel called the Metatron. And the Metatron is an angel that's made up of a bunch of other little angels. And basically, there's like something along the lines, if I recall correctly, 254 different faces of the Metatron. So each of these faces, each of these little personality aspects does a different job. And one of them happens to be death. And he can interchange the job of death between any of the angels that he chooses, depending on how you will react to that image of him.
Uh-huh.
So the more frightened you are of death, the more unkind and, you know, disgusting the image will be to you, depending on the angel that he chooses to throw in that job description for
you. Once they sense a weakness, they go for it, don't they?
Well, yeah. It's not so much that he's trying to sense a weakness, as I understand it. It's more along the lines of, if it's not your time, he'll try to frighten you out of a situation that you're doing that will lead to your untimely demise sort of situation.
Right. So he's
whereas if it
you.
Is your time, he'll show up as a more kindly aspect.
To comfort you.
Exactly. I personally had dreams back when I was in high school that I would die in these dreams. Everyone's had one at least. And I'd end up playing chess with the Angel of Death. And in my dreams, he would show up as Matrona, which is a female, one of his two female aspects. And she and I would talk while we played chess. It was just kind of fun. So I don't know if that's something that I picked up from reading this book or if it's
weird.
Something that actually was spiritually happening, but it was kind of cool at the same time. I had no fear of it.
Who, as you played this game of chess with the angel, who won the game? Did you ever get through that?
I won once, and she laughed at me, but for the most part, you know, it was all her. I kind of cheated, sorry.
Well, what you don't want to do is play chess with the devil, because if he wins, then you don't want that at all. How much time? We got some time for a few more calls. Absolutely. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there. Good morning.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
Great. This is Ed down in Vero Beach, Florida.
Yeah, Ed. Go ahead.
Hey, I got a question for you. Being the fact you're from Detroit, do you, let's see. Do you remember Superman, the TV series?
Yes.
Can you tell me the name of the announcer who said, look up at the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman?
Oh, my God. Are you telling me he was from Detroit?
Yes. TV personality. Daytime movies.
Oh, well, Bill Kennedy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, he was the announcer.
You had to prompt me, but it was him.
Well, it helps. But anyway, what I called about was back in 2004 when we had the hurricanes down here in Florida, I was sitting out in my car just so I wouldn't disturb my uncle listening to the show.
Uh-huh.
And you had Uri Geller on.
Yes.
Now, I had a broken window in the car that wouldn't go up and down with a switch. So Uri Geller said, we're going to fix things. We want you to think about it. 1, 2, 3, it's fixed, and it'll work. So I said, okay. I looked at the window, thought about it, concentrated. He said, 1, 2, 3. Boom, flipped the switch. The window went down. Flipped it, the window went up. It was great. Next thing I heard was, don't call in. This has been a recording, and the window broke.
Oh, that's right. I re-ran
the Geller show.
And you're right, because a lot of people had things fixed, and they had problems with it afterwards. You're right. You were right about that.
Yeah, well, I've been trying to call you and tell you that story since then.
I got to bring him back live so he can fix the window again.
Oh, no, it cost me $120 to get it fixed after that.
Okay. Let's go to our Grim Reaper line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there. Good morning.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good, thanks.
This is Marshall in North Beach, South Carolina. I wanted to say I felt like I have ran from the Grim Reaper my whole life. From childhood accidents to drowning and surfing almost to blowing myself up on a job once, but I have always felt him there, but not in the form of the black cape and the big scythe and all of that. It's just been a feeling of
Don't let him catch you. Stay a step ahead of him.
No, I don't have a problem staying a step ahead of him because I have confidence in what I do, but I have been in positions so many times where it was just like, oh, this is it. But it wasn't a scared kind of thing. It was more of a, well, you know, here it goes. It wasn't, death was there, but it wasn't terrifying me whatsoever.
It sounds like you've been able to master this. We'll be back in a moment. Larry Haber, the attorney for the John Teeter family. Don't go away.